Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. You know, Saints, like many of you, I often find, or should I say periodically, that the Lord puts me on a mission to help somebody or even a group of people who are taken captive by Satan at his will. Have you ever found yourself on such a special mission? That's why we have the Navy SEALs, we have the United States Marine Reconnaissance Forces, we have the Special Forces of the Army, etc., in our military, because those who lead and guide the military, the top generals, need specific men who are trained to do certain things to go on special missions, hopefully for the good of our country. That's, I believe, what we see in the body of Christ. In fact, we see that we are to endure hardness, 2 Timothy chapter 2, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice the word soldier. That tells you something. One of the things it tells us is that we are in a warfare, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan's kingdom is very organized and loaded with evil workers, both demons and human agents. Then Paul says, as he's telling younger understudy Timothy, no man that warreth, notice the word warreth, we're in a warfare. Like it or not, when the Lord saved you, you are entered into the kingdom of Christ, brought into it by Him. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, I don't know if you've noticed yet, but the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of conflict. If you get all stirred up and bewildered because you've been blindsided, or all kinds of spiritual warfare is happening to you and you can't seem to get a week or two break, well, that probably proves that the very life of Christ is abiding in you. That's a place to rejoice, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. You know, Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So we really need to get concerned if we don't have people slandering us and attacking us in one way or the other. And I want to encourage you to memorize those words from our Lord. They will be useful and very important for you throughout your walk with Christ. Notice Luke 6:26 is where we find this recorded, where Jesus says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Now let me stop right there and ask you, does everybody love you? No, I don't think so. I know everybody doesn't love you if you're following Christ. Now, what is your goal in life? I mean, as a young Christian, my goal was still to make everybody like me. That seems to be part of the human makeup for most of us. But when you're bought by the blood of Christ, you're no longer your own. You're bought with the price of His blood, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And you're called to be His ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5:20. He's made you a new creature. Old things are behind you. They're no longer. All things are become new, and all things are of God. So you're Christ's disciple. You're in Christ. That is your core and central root identity. And as such, as a disciple, a follower, a son of the living God, or a daughter, you're here to please Him. First of all, Jesus said we are to love the Lord, not self or anybody else, but first the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then secondly, love our neighbor as ourself. And when you love your neighbor because you love God first, you're going to tell your neighbor the truth. truth, and sometimes your neighbor is going to react. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment as we begin at the onset here concerning special missions that happened in our Christian life, each of us individually. So, woe unto you, Jesus says, when all men speak well of you, when everybody likes you, there's no strife, there's no turmoil in your life. If that's going on with you for a long period of time, I know how that's happened with me before. I'm like, something's up here. I hadn't been attacked in a day or two or a week or two or whatever. You start to wonder. It's a good time to pray and examine ourselves. But notice, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. We all know of the celebrated world evangelists and national pastors that so many love. Well, most of those people turn out to be false when you uncover the roots of what you now see to be an abominable ministry that had one front and another root. What they fronted does not reflect the root. Many of them have been and are colluding with the cult of the Roman Catholic Church. When you see a man like Billy Graham, Louis Giglio, the fraud, and Franklin Graham and others shaking hands and bowing down to the Pope, you know immediately that is an antichrist. Period. Doesn't matter what else good he's done. He is an antichrist. The world would love his own, Jesus said. They are one with the antichrist system. Don't be deceived, my friend. Be not deceived, the scripture says. Jesus warned and promised that many false prophets in the last days in which we now live will arise, and they will deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Notice what William MacDonald writes in the Believer's Bible Commentary concerning this statement from Jesus about all men speaking well of you, as they did to the false prophets. Mr. MacDonald says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Why? Because it is a sure sign you are not living the life or faithfully proclaiming the message of Christ. It is in the very nature of the gospel to offend the ungodly. Those who receive their applauds, from the world are fellow travelers with the false prophets of the Old Testament who tickle the people's ears, telling them what they wanted to hear. Then he finishes, he says, they were more interested in the favor of men than in the praise of God, unquote. That is very, very accurate. In fact, Jesus himself spoke of those who loved the praises of men. Jesus often addressed, rebuked, and exposed false prophets of his day, and that's what we're to do. Paul said we're to mark them. That means to identify them. You know, somebody recently, he's not a saved person, he's a religionist. He got all upset because he remembered back when me and several other brothers in Christ were sitting around talking and we were discussing some false prophets. Guess he got convicted because that's what he is, a false prophet. And I said, man, that's exactly what believers are to do. That's one of the things they're to talk about. Paul said they're to mark the false prophets. How do you do that if you're not moving your lips? You don't. So we are to expose darkness. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. That means to expose them, bring them into the light. And that connects directly with the special missions that God puts us on sometime. And I want to talk about it a little bit because I don't remember hearing a message specifically talking about this, maybe way in the past, but I think it helps us to talk about it and qualify it biblically so that we're not shocked when it happens, because it's going to happen. The Lord is going to put us on special missions. Notice Jesus said, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, it says, but because of the Pharisees, that's the false teachers of Christ's day, no different than the false teachers we have today, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. See, they didn't want to lose favor with their religious association, which meant that's what they loved more than Christ. Then it says in verse 43, John 12, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Notice in Galatians, when speaking about those who are accursed for preaching another gospel, Paul writes this, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Anybody who loves the praises of men more than the praises of God is not of the Lord. Lord. Doesn't matter if they were in the past or not. Jesus said, you're either with me or you are against me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Also in Matthew 6, 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Now back to 2 Timothy 2, where Paul is talking to Timothy, and let us take this directly and personally, that we are to endure hardness, the persecutions, the afflictions that come as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, verse 3. And be reminded that no man that warreth, and yes, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You are to take it by force. You are to bow down every day in a crucified death and burial posture so that the Lord is raising you up and he is possessing you to wield the sword of his word and his truth in your life, the way you live, and also the way you speak. And it's going to rip open the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Let us be reminded that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And that would be Matthew chapter 16, which tells you something. The true kingdom of Christ is to assault the gates of hell. Notice the offensive posture of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that is the revelation of Christ, not Peter, Jesus is the only rock of the church. 1 Corinthians 10:4, etc. I will build my church. Jesus is not talking about any organization. Get over it, please. He's talking about his individual believers who make up his church. That is the Greek word there, church, ecclesia, which means simply the called out people of God. If you're in an organization, I can tell you at least 90% of them are completely false. That's being generous, by the way. And many of them are very subtly false. That's the more insidious ones. So he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice the gates of hell. He speaks of the gates of hell that have locked up souls in their lies and darkness. And we get the picture here of the body of Christ, the real church, assaulting those gates, right? And that would speak to the special missions the Lord puts us on. So no man, 2 Timothy 4 seems to be our central passage right now, no man that warreth entangleth themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, on that note, I want to ask you a question. Of what eternal value is those things that we're engaged in this temporal life? This should be a constant concern and examination of our own hearts and lives. How much time are we spending on that which is temporal compared to that which is eternal? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father which has sent me, right? John, the book of John, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. John chapter 4, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Paul was also able to say that he finished his course, right? 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, so it's a FFK, fight, finish, keep. 2 Timothy 4, 7. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you going to finish strong? Are you going to keep the faith? And if you do, he says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. See, in other words, he's enduring to the end, which Jesus said is a must. Matthew 10:24 and 24:13, that's exactly what the apostles taught all the way through. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Notice the conditions. You got to fight the good fight, you got to finish your course, and you got to keep the faith. Amen. You got to endure to the end. The scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. If we faint not. It's not automatic because you've been saved. You have to fight the good fight of faith. In fact, the scripture speaks of that which is eternal and that which is temporal. The things which are seen are temporal, Paul says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Reading from 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 through 26, Paul writes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt or capable to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So notice, we've got to be careful that we remain crucified. We are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. We are crucified with Christ. It can be easy to come out of that place of death and burial, if you will, that posture of crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease, Lord. Not my will, but thine be done. So we got to be careful and aware of the tendency to do such, and realize that when God is leading you to do something and to speak, in fact, he just talked about verse 21 here. It's amazing how the Lord has led this message from the start. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Notice that it's according as you allow the Lord to sanctify you, as you obey him and such, and the cross has its center or its place in your life, at the center of your life, you're going to become more and more fit or meet, M-E-E-T, for the master's use. That master is the very Son of God and no other. And you're going to become more and more prepared unto every good work. And as that sanctification process in reality sets in, and your heart is more and more circumcised, and you're more and more dead and buried, and Christ is reigning supreme in your life, you're going to be prepared unto every good work. And God is going to send you on some missions. Amen. And it's going to be to help unveil the darkness that people are in, who are, verse 26, taken captive by him, that is the devil, at his will. See, it's like they don't even have the ability to exercise their free will, but God's going to cause you to go in there, no different than when we see people that are recovered before or after they get kidnapped. We see those stories all the time. Thank God. And they're let out and set free. But before they were set free, they were in the snare or the trap of the devil, and or the devil's agents who had kidnapped them. The Bible cites men's stealers, that's kidnappers, in the New Testament. The King James Bible uses the word men stealers. So these people were taken captive against their will by an agent of Satan who is come to steal, kill, and destroy. But then God's going to use us in special missions to be able to unlock the door, if you will, and release those people from the snare of the devil. And let us pray right now that God would continue to prepare each of us and use us in a greater and greater fashion as we look for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love Acts 26:18, and it's in red letters, saints. Jesus came to do what? Here it is. To open their eyes, everyone that's in blindness. To turn them. Here's the next part. Why does God want to open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding? Because, first of all, that denotes that our eyes are blinded, our spiritual eyes. And they're blinded by Satan, by the god of this world, who's blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest they receive the gospel. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:4. So this is in red letters, Acts 26:18. Jesus came to open their eyes and to turn them, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Amen. You're either under the dominion of Satan or the dominion of God through Christ. That's the only two kingdoms there are in this world. And the quicker we realize that, the clearer things become as you are a disciple in the kingdom of Christ, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, amen, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What a verse. I want you to pore over that one, beloved. Acts 26:18. The Lord is going to put us on some missions here, saints, and people are going to get mad because the demons that hold them captive are going to come unglued. You know, personally, I continue to realize the futility of listening to someone who is under captivity to Satan. And that would be everybody that's not a born-again, blood-washed believer. Every one. So divine wisdom says not to listen to those words, those emails, those messages. You know, when you know somebody is uncovered and lashing out, because what they're going to do is attack the messenger. Satan has got control of their lives until they are turned away from that darkness and forgiven and washed. And that's something only God can bring them into and through as a result of the messenger. That would be you and me, of delivering the message, uncovering the darkness, preaching the gospel into their heart. And sometimes that's a dirty mission, saints. I know many of you have already found that to be. I sure have myself. Some of these special missions are not pretty. People are going crazy. They're all upset. You know, you're exposing something that they have been trapped in and trusted in their whole life. Like false teachers, they have committed a soul tie, connected with, and, you know, secured and procured a soul tie with, because they love this person's personality. They love the way they, you know, some of the people that are very endearing personalities that God gave those personalities but are false prophets are people like Joyce Meyer. Of course, once you see through them, they're not very pretty at all. You know, this scammer out of Atlanta that's been around for decades, Charles the Devil Stanley. The guy is a vile false teacher, teaches eternal security. You're going to heaven no matter what after you get saved, even if you're living in adultery and homosexuality. That's two of the specific things he says. Look up Stanley on safeguardyoursoul.com and you will hear him say those things for himself, lest you think I'm making them up. Okay, so people get trapped because they've been worshiping at the altar of idols. Jesus is not their first love. They think they're a Christian, but they're not. They have committed spiritual adultery on the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. They're like the five foolish virgins. They're lukewarm and going to be spewed, rejected from his mouth, his body. He is not their first love, and he says, you must repent and return to me as your first love. And that's what every person who chooses to be a wise virgin believer is doing right now. They are seeking the face of the Lord. They're putting him first. They're crying out, Lord, without you I could do nothing, not my will but thine be done, dear Lord. You must increase but I must decrease. I love you, Jesus. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. They answer the bridegroom with, yes, Lord, I will seek your face. You see, they seek the face of the Lord continually. This is Psalm 27, these verses. Many of you know, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Amen. David said again, Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house or in the presence of the Lord and to behold his beauty. That I may dwell, and that is a verse I want to pull up over to the side here. If you knew how my software here works, you'd know what I'm talking about. I want to leave the main text up. One thing, this is a memory verse, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will, David says, I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hallelujah. Now, let me encourage you. The house of the Lord is not your little church building and organization. Come on, man. These pastors have made everything in the Bible, center around their stupid little program on Sunday morning. You know, it's time to come out of all that. That's not produced disciples. Never will. Never has. Every day, 24/7, we dwell in the presence of the Lord as we walk with Jesus. Special missions are for what? Bouncing back to our topic here, 2 Timothy 2:26. God has in mind to recover them, people that are caught captive, made captive by the devil. So much so that it appears by the wording here that they are taken, quote, taken captive by him. Satan, he's speaking of specifically, at his will. It seems like their will is like bound up and needs to be freed. And these special missions, you know, when you got a Marine or a soldier or some one of our military men trapped behind enemy lines, and you got a special mission of Marine reconnaissance or Army Special Forces or the Navy SEALs, God bless them all, amen, that they've got to be dropped behind enemy lines, maybe a parachuting in the middle of the night, early morning. We've all read about these stories. Amazing. And they've got to, in reconnaissance, in a cloak, in the cover of darkness, go and locate the captive. You can picture somebody opening up this door and finding one of our people, one of our military people, or one of our precious nurses that's a military personnel also, that's been kidnapped. We've seen specific stories about this kind of stuff. And then here comes the American military. How do you think that person feels? Wow. When the door is opened, however it happens, and all of a sudden they see that their rescuers are right there at hand to free them. Wow, that could make you cry right there.
And every one of us who has been in the military knows the thousands of hours of preparation that goes into such missions as these and many others.
You know, and in a much more important sense, when we obey God and are sent by Him, His wisdom being wielded in and through us, people are going to see the door of heaven opened, and they're going to see Christ, their Savior, and how they've been made captive in darkness by Satan. And just think about the great joy of being untrapped, of being released from the bondage, of being brought into the beautiful kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22 that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." You want to know who's really a part of the bride without doubt? He tells you right here, beloved, the Spirit and the bride, the Holy Spirit, capital S, and the bride of Christ say, "Come." You see, they're carrying out the great commission Jesus gave us. What a blessing. And they're saying to the lost, "Come." They're saying to those trapped in their sin because they got religion, not relationship with the Redeemer, "Come." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Are you resting in Christ today, beloved? Are you resting in Him, or are you held captive by that which hinders you from doing such? And let him, it continues, let him that heareth say, "Come." In other words, those that come to Christ are also to turn around and also with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as the bride of Christ continue to say, "Come." Special missions are all about saying, "Come to Jesus." Come to, you're not begging anybody, but you're calling them to come to Jesus and repent and receive Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right to become the sons of God. And that is John chapter 1 verse 12. And let him that is a thirst come. There are some thirsty souls that are taken captive by the devil at his will, and they're trapped in darkness, and their thirst is tormenting them deeply and grieving them because they lack a relationship with the one who made them and the only one who can fill that thirst. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, speaking of being sent as an ambassador on special missions. Recently, I had to uncover some darkness in a system that certain people around me were trusting in, actually probably several missions like that even recently, as I recall. And, you know, it can get real violent. Again, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And people can come unglued. I mean, in one of these situations, people caught up in the Catholic Church, that's some of the deepest darkness on planet Earth. If you've done your research, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because they got over 1 billion people trapped in that false gospel that has nothing to do with the holy kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, but is of the vilest nature. I won't even go into a detailed description right now, because that's not our main subject. But, I mean, these people come unglued, because, see, they were initiated into this Antichrist cult from birth. But you know what? If there's any chance they're going to get out of it, somebody along the way has to uncover the darkness so they can see it in picture form, straight up in their face.
Somebody long prepared and on a special mission from the Lord.
I can remember being caught up with false teachers in my younger days, my early days as a believer. And I can look back right now, as I have several times along the way, and give God thanks for those who were on a special mission from the Lord to come that day and say, brother, we need to talk. This guy you're following, Kenneth Copeland, these other frauds in the Word of Faith movement, every one of them is a fraud without exception, because they got to believe certain set of doctrines which are absolutely antichrist.
In order to be a part of the Word of Faith cult.
And so the day those people would come to me, or the seed they sowed to uncover that darkness on a special mission from God, I am so thankful. We've all been on both
sides of this, saints.
And God has set us free, and He wants to use us to help others in this matter as we close here. But do remember, saints, as I began sharing earlier, that divine wisdom would say not to listen closely to the bad things. In fact, Ecclesiastes even talks about this specifically. Yeah, Ecclesiastes, speaking of wisdom, this came from the wisest man among men, that is, not in comparison to our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice Solomon, Ecclesiastes 7:21, this is David's son, and he writes this, "Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken." See, there's a time not to listen to words that are spoken, especially when you know that you know these are not coming from God. And Jesus Christ is your Lord, not whoever's speaking. And they're speaking by the mouth of the devil. Don't listen to it. Don't read it. Don't let it go into your system. Keep thyself pure is a Bible verse in 1 Timothy. Neither give place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. So if you know somebody is not under the control, if you will, or the power of the Holy Spirit, why are you going to listen to them? Why do you want to inject that demonic poison into your system? You don't, right? Remember how we've done that, all of us probably, and then it hurt us unnecessarily. Jesus said, don't give your pearls to the swine or that which is holy to dogs. Why? Lest they turn again and rend you. They stab you in the back. See, so in the midst of uncovering this, some of the people are going to choose to be swine and dogs, spiritually abominable to the Lord. And they're going to turn around and stab you in the back. You're going to be the one blamed for it. All you're doing is showing them the satanic, evil, antichrist nature of that which they trust in, and all of a sudden you become the enemy, as if you had concocted that whole system of evil. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense, but that's how it is with the devil. God's not the author of confusion, though, saints. That's what Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:33. So Solomon says, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. That's an instruction from God to us. And may we have the wisdom and the fear of God to enact it, and don't listen to everything everybody says. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. What's God saying to you? That's all that matters, not what some man saying. Not, it doesn't even matter what you're thinking about yourself. God is with you. He loves you if you're abiding in Christ on His terms, of course. For oftentimes, He says, now also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You've been on the other side of this too. So again, that was Ecclesiastes 7:21 and 22 and Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Okay, we have a post specifically addressing this on safeguardyoursoul.com. It's titled, Should We Listen to Everyone's Opinion of Us? It's a podcast. Of course not. We must discern what to hear and what to reject. And that's what Jesus said. Don't give your pearls to the swine. If you know they're a swine, if you know they're not a blood-washed person, washed by the blood of Jesus and presently abiding in Christ, it's very likely that they'll be spewing out evil swords, of rusty swords of poisonous evil that your heart does not need and God doesn't want you to receive, because they will only hurt you, and those people will turn again and they will rend, which means stab, destroy you. So divine wisdom, as we close here, says not to listen to the words of a person who is under the influence of the enemy. God, increase our discernment. And remember, Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit, not their profession, but their fruits. So the wisdom of God says, don't listen to those words. Don't give them place, the place of those who are under the influence of the enemy of our soul, Satan, lest we give place to the devil and he turn again and rend us. Matthew 7:6, that's the warning that Jesus gave us. Jesus specifically instructed us, his people, when he said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now notice the context here of Matthew 7:1-6, which covers a lot that we've talked about on this message, because Jesus is saying in the verses before verse 6, verse 1-5, to judge not lest you be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you mete out or measure out to others, it shall be measured back to you. So these people who are coming unglued on you, I've seen it several times, I cut them off, if you will, other than to communicate to them, because I'm coming from the Bible, the Word of God, with the intent of helping them. But only the truth can make somebody free if they obey it. Our job is to get on those special missions, is to get the light of truth into their hearts. And it's going to hit those darkened hearts, and many times they're going to come unglued, probably more times than not. And then they're going to reap judgment on themselves because they judged you. And that could be the very thing that Jesus uses to bring them to himself. You don't control that. All you're doing is obeying God on each mission, each step of the way, as he gives you the wisdom and leads you
in his heavenly special ops.
As you're becoming prepared more and more to be meet or fit for the master's use.
2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21.
Personally, this is how I deal with people
who I know
that they're in darkness, given over to the will of Satan, taken captive by him, as we read in 2 Timothy 2, defending lies instead of their lies that they're caught up in instead of repenting. They're possessed of Satan. And so neither give place to the devil. Amen. God bless you, friend. We do covet your prayers for the supply and the fruitfulness of this ministry to glorify Jesus Christ. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.